And I think specifically for Billings, for our community that has this history of the Not in Our Town movement, of this idea that, you know, the story is back in 1993 when skinheads and white supremacists were, you know, doing horrible things such as they were desecrating the Jewish cemetery. They vandalized the synagogue. They it culminated when they threw the brick through the window of an 8-year-old Jewish boy's home, and this community rallied. This community rallied with marches, and you know, ultimately, our paper put in their Sunday edition a full color menorah, and everybody in Billings was asked to put those up in their windows. And over the holiday season that year, 10,000 homes in Billings had these menorahs in solidarity with this Jewish family that had been attacked. That's a really great legacy. You know, it became a documentary. It aired nationally on PBS, and it's now started this movement that's ultimately around the world. You know, they show the story of Billings in the Ukraine. Which is really, really exciting. But in the 20 years, 25 years, that's been the case, Billings has kind of lost some of that. So I think one thing we did get out of the NDO was this idea that you can't, it's the only Dr. Phil quote I ever use, right? You
Thank you.
can't fix what you don't acknowledge. And here in Billings, we've got an opportunity now to really see the stuff that needs to be fixed. You know, that people of color are still being treated horribly in the motels and hotels and restaurants and businesses of our community. They're treat, especially if you're a Native American in Billings, Montana, it's a horrifying treatment. I always like to say that, you know, because there's so few African Americans, sometimes we're like the Bengal tiger of Billings, where it's exotic to see us. And so people are less mean and more curious, which can get a little exhausting sometimes. You've heard my stories about 20-year-old white girls coming up and asking if they could touch my hair and how much I love it when that happens. I forgot where I was going at that point, but the
Native Americans, how horribly they're treated. And we talk about people of color as just black people, but Native Americans face discrimination in Billings in ways that a lot of people don't understand.
I mean, horror stories, right? And I think that's kind of what the NDO can help us draw out is hopefully, because we lost this thing by one vote, the one vote being our mayor, who was the person in who the per at the beginning was pushing for this the most, and then quickly got turned around by some very, very ugly religious right rhetoric. And he's kind of the prime example. I don't want to pick on the mayor. Well, maybe I do want to pick on the mayor here, but I genuinely like him. I genuinely like him. I think he tries to be a good person, but I've come to the conclusion that, you know, we always talk about one of the things we try to break down when we do this is ignorance, right? And there's an ignorance there. And why wouldn't there be? He's a white male. He was a police
He
officer
was
for
law
most of his
enforcement.
life. If he's not wealthy, he's at least well off. So everything about his background says that he's not going to understand the experiences of people who are oppressed, which is understandable because that's where it came from. But when people start to tell him, when he willfully gets up in front of the Chamber of Commerce and say, after Billings was given the
Least
dubious
diverse,
distinction of the
yeah.
least diverse large community in America, and he gets up in front of the Chamber of Commerce and says, "Of course, Billings is a diverse community that accepts everybody after we've just flunked an NDO." And he hasn't, I guess he's never spoken to a Native American person in this community. I mean, when ignorance goes from just being ignorant to willful ignorance, that's where the problem lies. And I think, in terms of the people that we've got to convince in Billings, it's those people that have willful ignorance. Because they don't see it, it doesn't happen.
Well, that was something that we heard over and over again was, tell me how, you know, you've been discriminated against. Tell me, we need stories and examples. Have you reported it? And yet there were people who went up and testified who were like, I won't serve gay people. Right. I don't want them in my business. I don't want to do this. But yet somehow those didn't count as examples too of how just somebody would target somebody who was, you know, LGBT.
Right.
And so educating somebody who doesn't want to be educated or who doesn't want to sit in that discomfort of their privilege, because it's really painful. I mean, you and I had a conversation over dinner and you busted me on something and it was like, that's your privilege.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to sit in it because you have to own it. And that's hard to hear as a straight, white, cisgender person. And if you don't have that open mind to create that space, how do you overcome that if you can't do it through stories and knowing people? And, you know, I know the mayor said, I've had a lot of gay friends, but, which is always my favorite comment.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you hear that word, but, I think you should just realize that they've already put up that wall and they're not going to recognize their privilege.